I feel so blessed today to introduce my friend, Pastor Adam Balduff, and his wife, Jennifer Balduff, who will be bringing us our message this morning. Here at Clay Church, we have had a relationship with Mission on the Move, particularly with their mission to orphans and kids off the streets and kids whose parents can't take care of them in Tapachula, Mexico. Adam and Jennifer have been with that ministry now over a year. It was my joy to travel down there and just see the relationships that they've already built with both the kids that are part of those homes and with the community. That ministry, as Clay has been a partner in it, we've had the blessing of watching these kids grow and go on to college and come to know God's love. We've had a blessing of watching the ministry grow to now three homes, one for boys, one for girls, and one for both boys and girls, really families. They've added a school and are just making such an impact in Tapachula, Mexico. It's our walking with more people, our mission of walking with more people. Which we do now in partnership with Adam and Jennifer. So let's give Adam and Jennifer a warm welcome today as he brings our message about ministry ahead.
Good morning, church. I'm Adam, and this is my wife, Jennifer. And today I have one simple question that nobody out there will be able to answer for me. Are we living in the end times? Is this the apocalypse? Now, if you follow the multitude of screen time theologians that are out there, found on social media, and yes, there's a few of them, we better start praying because Jesus is a-coming. Now, I can't log on to Facebook nowadays or check my Instagram feed without somebody telling me to start preparing for Christ's return. And to be honest, I get it. I truly do. There is a tangible sense of fear that I see on people's faces when I go to the stores or on people's posts on social media or while I'm out driving. And it's there because we don't know what's going on in the world today. And what we do know tends to change on an hour-by-hour or day-by-day basis. So maybe we should start preparing. But how? My one question, though, that I have for some of my other Facebook friends out there that post about these end-time visions and signs, and they pontificate like they have this doctoral degree in a theological seminary, I want to ask them and say, how many times you open up your Bible or maybe a biblical commentary? Probably not as much as you think you do. And so with that, I really don't know where to look for answers, but I know a couple of places where we can go and find some clues as to whether or not we are living in the end times and what the apocalypse may even look like. And as Christians, and I think this is what we really need to focus on, is if we are experiencing this end time movement, this end time era, this apocalyptic vision that's coming at us, we need to focus on what Jesus wants us to do and what we should be preparing for, I guess. And so, where would we look for these clues at? A lot of folks out there would probably turn right to the book of Revelation. Well, I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to do that for a couple of reasons. Probably because a year ago, especially here at Clay Church, Pastor Brian did a great job of walking us through that book and would do a whole lot better job than I'd ever do. And plus, it's just kind of scary to me. And if you're a member of Clay Church and you don't remember that sermon series, first of all, shame on you, because Brian's an awesome pastor and Clay Church is like the best church ever. You should probably go back to claychurch.com and take a look at that sermon series like I did, because it's pretty, pretty good. But if you need that refresher, you know where to go. Now, we could then maybe look at some of the Old Testament prophets like Isaiah or Amos, Jeremiah. And we could do that and try to figure out what's going on today, or we could probably just look at the words of Jesus, and that might be a good place to start. And so let's do that. If you have your Bibles, I want you to take a look at the book of Matthew. It's in the New Testament there, and we're going to focus on chapters 24 and 25 today, and we're going to see what Jesus specifically says about the signs of the end of times. Now, I'm going through some course of study classes for my local pastor license, the United Methodist Church, and one thing I've learned by a lot of my teachers is that you never kind of cherry pick your verses out of the Bible. You look at a thing, you look at a book or a chapter in context. And so today, we need to look at verses 24 and 25 in context. And for me, that means looking at what was happening in Jesus's time here on earth with his disciples at the end of chapter 23. And if you look at the end of chapter 23 in the book of Matthew, Jesus just got done firing away at some of the hypocrites, the teachers of the law, and the Pharisees. You know, he's out there preaching fire and brimstone at these guys, and he's really riled up and mad. And the disciples are kind of like, whoa, hey, Jesus is a little upset here. And they back off of him a little bit. A little bit later on in chapter 24, you have the disciples gathering up their nerves. And I can kind of see them egging each other on, hey, Peter, why don't you go ask him what's going on? No, John, you do it. So eventually they walk up to Jesus and they say, teacher, you preach about the sign of the end of times, you know, this coming, this end of the age. Can you tell us what you meant by that? Can you give us some answers here? And what should we be looking for? And then if you look at chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus lays out this basic shopping list of end-of-time visions and happenings that are going to go on, when, in fact, the apocalypse is upon them. And so I'm going to have Jennifer here, my beautiful assistant, help me out as we look through chapter 24 and see if anything's matching up today that Jesus talked about back then. Do we have any false prophets out there?
Yep. I call them politicians or the talking heads of the newscast.
Okay, good point. Matthew talks about how there's going to be rumors of war.
Well, honey, have you heard of all the protests going on? The riots, the division here in our own country. People going to battle over, do you wear a mask or not wear a mask? Also, Russia and China are acting up too.
Probably none of this next one. How about famines? Any famines going on?
Going on in Africa as we speak right now. And let's not forget about the locusts.
Oh, okay. Earthquakes.
The earth is trembling every day.
I got one that's going to throw you. Birth pains.
Birth I got pains. You there too. Metaphorically, no one that I know has escaped the sudden loss of security, stability, or peace. Could these be considered birth pains? I would say yes.
Good points. Now, if you take this list and some of her answers, you may be saying, okay, the apocalypse train has left the station. Everybody on board, let's go. However, this is where that context is very, very important, folks. If you keep reading through chapter 24, you're going to see another list of persecutions and some other signs that Jesus talks about. And I want to lift up to you verse 21, and this is important. Let me read that for you. For then there will be a great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Think about that one for a minute. Now, let me read that last part one more time. Unequaled from the beginning of the world until now. Now, I don't want to dismiss our current situation because I know that there is a lot of physical, emotional, other types of pain that's going on with COVID-19 and the pandemic around the globe. But I've studied history a lot.
Yeah.
And that passage right there about unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, that gives me some pause. Because even if you think that our society is experiencing these birth pains, whether real or metaphorical, are we experiencing distress greater than any other time in history? That's a question. Now, as we continue to read, you might see the famous verse from Matthew from chapter 24, verse 36, where he talks about this waiting time. And he says, but about that hour, that day or hour, no one knows when this apocalyptic time is going to happen, and that we just need to keep watch. That's Jesus' words. We find at the end of chapter 24 in Matthew a couple other stories about the end of times and what they may look like, and Jesus provides us a rich narrative of keeping watch and what that means, especially for those who consider themselves followers of Jesus. Then, He continues to teach us to disciples and us today, and this is where I'm going to focus on next, by presenting us three parables in chapter 25. And we're going to take a look at all of them together. The first parable, which is found in 25 verses 1 to 13, is called the parable of the 10 bridesmaids or the parable of the 10 virgins, depending on which translation you may have. Now, regardless of the title, the story found in this first parable teaches about the importance of keeping watch. You know, if we didn't learn our lesson throughout chapter 24, we need to keep watch, especially for the end of times. And so Jesus tells us to keep our lamps filled with oil and our wicks trimmed as we watch. Now, this is a metaphor for being prepared, fully prepared. And for me, that means spending time in prayer. It means time with daily devotion and reading my Bible. And then returning back to that day by day to fully try to understand what God is trying to talk to me today about. Then he's going to follow up this parable about being prepared and keeping your lamps filled with oil and your wicks trimmed. He's going to talk about this one that has the title of the talents or the bags of gold. Now, in this lesson, in this parable, Jesus instructs us that everybody has been given these spiritual talents, these spiritual gifts, if you will. They are presented in this parable by bags of gold that a couple of servants have received from their master. Now, two of the servants, for those who are familiar with this story, they use those bags of gold wisely. They actually are given these bags of gold from the master, and then they turn around and they double the value of these bags of gold. They use their talents very, very wisely. The last servant, being kind of scared and unsure of what to do and doesn't want to take a chance or risk anything, he buries his bag of gold, and he does nothing for his master except return that bag of gold to him. For me, my takeaway for this parable is that my master is God, and my gifts, these bags of gold, are to be used to build God's kingdom. And if you don't do that, like the third servant did, God's not going to be very happy with you and wasting this valuable talent that God gave you. Now, by themselves, these two separate parables, the virgins or the bags of gold, if you will, they can have very important lessons just by themselves. However, I don't want to dismiss that, you know, we definitely need to be prepared on one hand, and, you know, we need to use our gifts on the other side. But if you step back and then take these two parables with the last lesson found in Matthew 25, you're going to see how powerful Jesus was as a teacher. Now, keeping our lamps filled with oil, our wicks trimmed, and using our bags of gold is very, very wise teaching. We need to pray, we need to study Scripture, we need to meditate, and then use those spiritual gifts to build the kingdom. But to make sure we don't miss the main point of Jesus and his teachings, he ends this series of these parables with one that basically propelled Jennifer and I off of the pew and into the mission field a few years ago. At the end of Matthew chapter 25 and verses 31 to 46, you got the last of these awesome teachings that Jesus did before the events of Holy Week, before he would go and have the Last Supper, you know, with the disciples, before he's betrayed by Judas, before he's turned over and experiences everything that happens with his crucifixion and the resurrection on Easter Sunday. So this is, like, in Matthew, his last bit of teaching for us. The parable is titled either The Judgment of the Nations or The Sheep and Goats, depending on what translation you have. And it seems like he's telling us exactly what to do regardless of what's happening around us. Now, remember, he's been preaching about the end of times since the end of chapter 23. Then, if you look back through chapter 24, he tells us about what it may look like. And then throughout 25 so far, he's telling us, you know, to be prepared and to use our gifts. And so to kind of round up this whole series, at the end of chapter 25, he tells us that for those people who've been doing everything that he's commanded them to do, there shouldn't be any doubt what we need to be doing during this time period. Before, especially in 34 and 36, the verses there, Jesus says, "Then the king will say to those on my right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" And this is the part that I really have underlined and highlighted in my Bible. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Brothers and sisters, I could stand up here or sit down here and read statistic after statistic of how this pandemic has turned our social and economic world upside down. But I'm not going to do that. I don't need to. Because for me, these statistics came to life. I just returned from a visit to our mission site down in southern Mexico last month, and I saw people suffering more than I've ever seen before. I saw more folks hungry, more folks needing something to drink because they were thirsty, more folks looking for just one or two pesos so they can find some clothes for themselves. There was more pain, economic and social pain, that I saw on this last trip than the previous 2 years combined since we've been on the field. There was more kids and adults selling stuff or themselves in the streets. There was more kids begging for money. Unfortunately, the pandemic in southern Mexico has closed almost all the government offices down. And so if there was a place that people could go and get help, they can no longer receive that help. And for me, my takeaway with that was the most vulnerable of God's children around the world, especially down in southern Mexico where we work, they're not worried about whether Jesus is coming tomorrow or not. They're worried about if they're going to find something to eat. And that's pretty powerful. So our work with Mission on the Move is to help some of those children get something to eat, to get something to drink, to find love and care, and basically to be taken care of like Jesus would take care of them. And Jennifer now is going to talk about that, how you guys can walk alongside us in carrying out that mission to care for the most vulnerable of God's children. Jen?
As God has told us, He has more for us to do until He comes. And like Pastor Brian has said, in quotations, before the pandemic, the world seemed to already be changing faster than ever with the internet, cultural change, and global networking. Now, because of the pandemic, many live today with even more anxiety and fear about what the future holds. The truth is, pandemic or not, we never knew for certain what lies ahead of us. Maybe because we felt that we are in control, not God. So maybe this is a way for God to put us in a timeout. We need to be prepared so that we can follow Him the right way, actually. He has given us a blessing every day to wake up for the opportunity to serve Him again. No more what Adam would call multitasking poorly.
I don't do that very good.
And as missionaries, we get to see the needs of our home country here in the United States that are hungry for peace, stability, and understanding. And we also have to balance those with the needs of our second home country, Mexico, that are hungry for food, looking for shelter, and unconditional love. With this, we see with our own eyes very small needs. But imagine for one moment what God's eyes see. He sees your needs. He sees our country's needs. He also sees the orphan begging on the street. He has created each of us to continue His mission until He comes. So take this time right now to prepare ourselves, serve others, and be the salt and light. Go where He is leading you. If that's not here, amongst clay, stretch your arms out a little bit and maybe go and serve in the devastated areas that we have right now in Louisiana and Texas. Or maybe He's asking you to stretch a little further and go globally where millions of people are living on less than $2 a day. As an organization with Mission on the Move, we are called by God to go and serve vulnerable children, believing in the love of Christ that brings hope, transforms lives, and strengthens communities. For those that are not familiar with Mission on the Move and what we do in Tapachula, we bring orphan and vulnerable children from the local government orphanage into Christ-centered homes. We are blessed to have three homes filled with Christian tios and tias, or aunts and uncles, who serve as house parents, cleaners, and cooks for our children to raise them right. We encourage you to learn more in depth about our mission and join us this afternoon at 4 o'clock, where we can specifically talk a little more one-on-one about our mission and how we holistically care for 18 children, 3 college students, and we have added on the support of a recently reunified family. In the last year, we have felt God's lead to move away from the dormitory style, the boys' home and girls' home, old style of mission, and make those into family homes where brothers and sisters live together. Our first change was in October of 2019 when we did our first family home. And it went so well that we copied it in our last 2 homes on January 20th of 2020. And then COVID hit. So what we didn't know, because we were seeing with our own eyes the fruits of that one home from October and trying to multiply it in January, what we saw with our eyes, God had already known what was going to happen. He knew that the siblings would need each other during a global pandemic. Because how could you, when the world is unstable, how could you embrace your sibling down the street? How could you feel love of your house parent when there wasn't a family sense in the home? So looking back, we thought it was pretty good timing, but actually it was great God's timing. For he knew exactly what each of those kids needed. And we prepared, because it took a lot of planning and plotting and logistics to get everything done and onboarding staff and training. So we prepared, we listened, and we acted on our trust in him. And boy, oh boy, have those kids and our staff really thrived. And Adam got to see with his own eyes, like he talked about his recent trip in Mexico, that the need is much greater now since COVID. With kids begging in the street, that is something we saw infrequently. They were selling things, but just flat out begging, that's not something we got to see every day. And adults attempting to drop their kids off at the orphanage door just so that they could get some food. We ache, our hearts ache to see the struggle of that, and of course we want to react and try to meet that need. So feeling the urging to, we have an empty home, we have the space to bring in more kids, and the need is there. The government orphanage, is calling us all the time and asking if we can accept more children. At this time, we have the space, but we don't have the funds to bring in the kids. So that is where you, Clay Church, can come in. We're feeling the urging to continue to serve, just like we talked about just a little while ago, and to help. Maybe you could be a bigger part in something that's bigger than you, by sponsoring a child. So if you can help financially, we ask that you seek us out after the service, or if you're online, please contact the office for our personal contact information. We'd love to help walk with you through this. But these are just a few examples of how you could be the salt and light and continue the mission, even if your eyes aren't the ones that get to see it.
Let me ask that again. Are we living in the end of times? Sure, maybe. Who knows? But that shouldn't stop us from doing the work that Jesus has called us to do. For Jennifer and I, that includes working with some of the sweetest, most vulnerable children that we can find and placing them in loving Christian families so they can experience what being wrapped up in the arms of Jesus may feel like. We're reaching out to you, our Clay Church family, to deepen your connection with our agency Mission on the Move and our ministry to carry out Jesus' command to love the orphan by providing food for the hungry and drink for those who are thirsty. Amen.
Thank you, Adam, and thank you, Jennifer, for being with us today at Clay Church, for bringing a wonderful word of God to our community, for being wonderful partners in ministry. We had a trip to Tapachula, another mission experience scheduled for this coming October. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, that is on hold. However, and it's a big however, This is a rich and meaningful partnership in ministry where God is doing amazing things, and we will have more opportunities to come. And if you just want to learn more about that ministry, we have an exciting opportunity this afternoon at 4 p.m. at the Clay North campus. We'd invite you to drop by. We're going to have an outdoor open house where you can hear a little bit more about the ministry and get a chance to meet Adam and Jennifer and sign up for a list there if you're interested in traveling and helping, being part of that ministry, being God's hands and feet in that ministry in the future. As we celebrate what God is doing both here and around the world, let's join together now in our final song.